Hi guys, my name is Dion Bicycle and welcome to this week's episode of The Balanced Mind. I'm so glad you're tuning in today. If you've been following along with us lately, you would know that we spent the past few weeks really getting into the weeds of friendships. We talked about the maintenance, how we need to work on our connections, the effort it takes to keep the gears running, and of course, those all-important boundaries we need to set to keep our relationships healthy. But tonight, we're going to go somewhere a bit deeper and unexplored. We're going to talk about something a lot of people try to avoid because it's uncomfortable. We're talking about ending a friendship. And on the flip side of that, we're going to talk about the hope that comes after that. How we can open ourselves to new connections. You know, it's funny. We were taught from a young age how to make friends in the sandbox in the kindergarten. But nobody ever gives us the manual on how to leave the sandbox when the people in it aren't playing fair anymore. Or when we're just grown out of the game. We've been conditioned to think that longevity is the only measure for a good friendship. We say things like, oh, you know, we've been friends for 15 years. As if that alone makes the relationship healthy. But if those 15 years have turned into a cycle of draining energy and silent resentment, is that really a win for a balanced mind? There is this huge stigma around ending a friendship, isn't there? If you break up with a romantic partner, everybody gets it. They bring you ice cream, they check in on you, they tell you there are plenty of fish in the sea. But if you tell someone, you know what, me and this certain friend are not hanging out anymore, people then look at you as the villain. They ask, what happened? Did they betray your friendship? Did you have a good huge fight? And then the answer is no, we just don't fit anymore. People don't know what to do with that. There's a pressure to stay loyal to a version of yourself that doesn't exist anymore. But I want to share something with you that really helps me. Aristotle is an old philosopher. Actually, he actually talked about this thousands of years ago. He said there are friendships of utility and friendships of pleasure. Those are the ones based on what you do together and what you get from each other. But he said the highest form of friendship is virtue, where you love the person for who they truly are. The reality is, most of our friendships start in those first two categories. When the utility is gone, maybe you don't work together anymore. Or the pleasure of fades because your interests have changed. The friendship naturally wants to end, but we fight it because we feel guilty. We feel like we're quitting. Well, tonight, I want to give you permission to stop seeing it as quitting and start seeing it as evolving, changing, growing. Think about your life like a bicycle. By the way, I would always come back to this one. To keep your bike balanced, you have to keep moving, but you also have to be careful about the weight you're carrying on your back rack. If you're carrying old baggage from a friendship that ended emotionally 3 years ago, but you're still keeping up an appearance, that weight is making it harder for you to pedal. It's slowing down your growth. There's a concept by a researcher named Robin Dunbar called Dunbar's number. He found that we physically and mentally only have space for a small amount of truly deep connections. Our inner circle is usually about 5 people maximum. If we have 2 or 3 seats in that inner circle taken up by people who drain you, who don't support your vision, or who make you feel like you have shrink yourself to be around them, you literally don't have room for a new amazing people. By holding on to a dead connection out of guilt, you're actually being unfaithful to your new friends who want to get to know you. They can't wait to get to know you. You're keeping your hands full of old stones, so you can't pick up new gems. I think the reason we stay in these stale friendships is that we are scared of the quietness. We are scared that if we let go of this person who has known us for a few years, we will be alone and we have nowhere to go. There's a stigma that being alone means you're lonely or unpopular, but it is a stigma. On the balanced mind, we know that silence is where the best work happens. When you clear out the noise of a friendship that was just taking up space, you finally get to hear your own voice again. You get to ask yourself, what do I actually like to do? Who do I want to be now? Who do I want to be? And that leads us to the second half of our show. Later on, we're going to talk about new connections with new friends. I know it is intimidating. I get that. As adults, making friends feels like trying to learn a new language while everybody else already knows it and are fluent in the language. We worry about being too much, you know? We worry about being rejected. But I want to tell you about the proximity effect. I really struggle with that word. It's the simple idea that we become friends with the people we see the most. If you want to find a tribe, you have to put yourself in new rooms, in new circumstances or places. You have to be willing to be the new person for just a little while. We're going to talk about how to do that without the anxiety and how to move from acquaintances to being a real friend, and how too much energy with people who are actually on your frequency. So tonight, we're going to talk through this together. We're going to talk about how to spot the signs that it's time to move on. We're going to talk about the what words we can use to set those final boundaries or to let the friendship fade gradually. And then we're going to look forward. We're going to talk about how to build a social circle that doesn't yet exist, but actually fuels yourself. At the end of the day, your balanced mind depends on the people you surround yourself with. You wouldn't be dirty fuel in a high performance engine. I just want to repeat that. You won't put dirty fuel in a high performance engine, would you? So why do we put draining energy into our inner circle? I've got my coffee ready. I hope you've got yours. So let's dive into this episode and talk about letting go and the beauty of starting over. We've been laying the groundwork for why friendships change and how to recognize that the engine room in your life is starting to seize up. But now we have to get into the part that makes everyone's palms a little sweaty and things get uncomfortable. And that is the actual breakup of a friendship. I want you to think about the term for a second. Why is it that when we hear breakup, we immediately think of romance? We think of the movies where someone throws clothes out the window or delete a bunch of photos. But the friendship breakup is often much quieter, much more confusing, and if I'm being honest, sometimes a lot more painful. There's no legal work, no paperwork on a file. There's no shared apartment to split up. It's just an ending. And because there's no roadmap, we tend to handle it in one of two ways. We either stay away for too long and let resentment poison us, or we ghost and leave the trail of confusion behind us. Neither of those is the balanced mind way. One of the biggest hurdles we face is the idea of closure. We feel like we can't move on unless the other person understands exactly why you're leaving. We want them to say, you know what, you're right, Dion. I have been draining, you know, and I totally support your decision to distance yourself. We want the friends to say that to us. But let's be real, that almost never happen. People are often defensive when they feel a connection slipping away. If you're waiting for them to give permission to leave, you're giving them the keys to your mental health. I'm reminded of the work by Nedra Glober Tawib, who is a real expert on boundaries. She teaches that closure isn't something you get from someone else. It's something you create for yourself by sticking to your own boundaries. You don't need a signature on a contract to decide that the friendship is no longer serving your peace. When you realize it's time to move on, you have to choose a path. I like to think of these as gears on a bicycle. Sometimes you need a slow, steady change. And sometimes you need to hit the brakes hard. So let's talk about the gentle fate. This is the most common way friendships end. And honestly, it's often the kindest. Think about the situational friends. The people who were close the people you were close with because you worked in the same office, or your kids were in the same class or in the same school. If those shared situations are gone, you realize that the connection was only surface level, just because of that one circumstance. You don't always need a big, dramatic talk when a friendship ends. The gentle fade is about slowly withdrawing your investment. You stop being the one to send the first text. You stop saying yes to every invite out of obligation. You aren't being mean. You're just being allocating. There we go. See, we move from the inner circle to the acquaintance circle, and it's fun. It's a natural drift. If they aren't reaching out either, then you both have reached a silent agreement. There's no victim and no villain, just a season that has come to an end. And then secondly, we have the boundary shift. This is for the friends who still care about, but you can't handle the current version of the friendship. Maybe they're energy vampires. People who only call when they have a crisis. You don't want to cut them off entirely, but you can't be the 24/7 crisis counselor. This is where you use a shield. You set a firm boundary by saying something like this. Hey, I really value your chats and your time, but I'm going through a season where I need to switch off my phone after 7 p.m. to focus on my family and also my health. Or you can say something like, I can't talk about this certain topic right now, but I would love to hear about it, about another topic that has more common grounds for the two of you. You are retraining them on how to be your friend. If they can't respect the new terms, you will usually fade away on their own, or they will fade away on their own. Thirdly, we can talk about the honest conversation. This is the high stakes gear. This is the best friend for 10 years, of 10 years. The one who has been there through it all. But something has fundamentally been broken down. Maybe there was the betrayal of trust. Maybe you realize your values are now so different that every conversation feels like a battle. In this case, ghosting is the betrayal of the history he shared. You owe it to the version of the friendship that was good to speak the truth. But, and this is the key, you have to use I statements instead of saying you are negative and you never listen. Rather say something like, I realized that I'm at a place in my life where I need more positivity in my inner circle, and I'm finding it hard to maintain our connection and that way in the way it used to be. So when you say something like this, you aren't attacking them. You're stating your own reality. You're talking about you and how you have changed. Don't attack them on what they did wrong. And then I want to talk about the grief of the friendless space. I want to talk about the aftermath for a second. Even though you're the one who ends the friendship, you know, it hurts, I understand it. And you might feel a strange sense of loss when something happens and your first instinct is to text them. And then you remember, wait a minute, I can't really text him. But that's okay. There's a stigma that if you ended it, you aren't allowed to be sad. That is not true. You're grieving the idea of what the friendship was, and that's fine. You're grieving the person they used to be. It's like losing a part of your own history. But remember this. Just because you miss them doesn't mean you want them back in your life. You can miss a person and still know they aren't good for your own balanced mind. So maybe today you can look at your friendship roster and you can see all your friendships around you. You can recognize them. Is this someone that you keep them around because you are afraid of the awkwardness of saying goodbye? See, being a good person doesn't mean being a doormat. It doesn't mean being a dumping ground for someone else's drama. True friendship is a two-way street, a balance of give and take. If that balance is gone and you've tried the maintenance and you've set the boundaries and nothing has changed, it's okay to step off the bike. It's okay to step away and find a new path. So when we return in our third segment, we're going to talk about what happens next. Because we have this void, this quiet, lonely space between old friends and new ones. It's a place most people fear because it's actually where the magic happens. If you're still with me, we just come through the hardest part. We looked at the engine room where we diagnosed the friction and we talked about the actual mechanics of a friendship breakup. But now we find ourselves in a place that nobody really likes to talk about. and that is the place I like to call the void. The void is that quiet, slightly uncomfortable space that exists after you've cleared the chairs in your life, meaning your friends, your old friends. But before the new people have arrived to sit in them, it's the Friday night when your phone doesn't buzz at all. It's the Saturday morning when you realize you don't have a plan because the person you usually did things with is no longer with you or no longer the same person. For a lot of us, it is where the panic sets in. This is where we start to second guess everything. We think, maybe I was bad. You know, maybe they weren't that bad or that uncomfortable. Or maybe I was the one being too sensitive. You know, maybe it was me. We're so afraid that the empty space that we tempted to go running back to the toxic or draining situation just to feel filled up again or not to feel lonely. But tonight I want to challenge you to sit in that quietness, because on the path to a balanced mind, the void isn't a hole that you need to fill. It is a workshop where you can change a few things. There is a massive social stigma around being in between friends. We live in a world that is obsessed with squad goals or tribes. If you aren't posting a group photo at brunch, or the world makes you feel like there's something wrong with you, you have to post something. You've been told that fear, solitude, is like a disease. You can't be lonely. It's not good. That is not true. But I want to bring you in a little perspective here. Think about the social baseline theory. This is the idea in psychology that our brains are actually wired to expect other people to be around to help us manage our stress. When we lose a close friend, our brain literally feels like the world has become harder to navigate because we're doing it all by our own selves. But here's the balanced mind twist. If the person you were with was actually draining your battery instead of helping you change it, you are already doing it alone. You were just doing it with an extra weight on your back. The void isn't about being lonely. It's about decompressing. It's the time you need to get the noise of someone else's expectation out of your head so you can hear your own thoughts again. I like to use the garden metaphor. I always go back to this when I think about friendships. If you want to grow something new, something beautiful, you can't just throw new seeds on top of old ones or on top of dead weeds. You have to pull out the weeds. And once you pull them out, you've left with a patch of brown dirt. It doesn't look like much because it's not Instagrammable. You know, you can't take a picture and share it with everyone because it doesn't look like anything. But most people see that patch of dirt and think, oh no, my garden is ruined, what will people say? But the gardener knows that the empty dirt is actually a fertile ground. It's a new beginning. It's the only place where something new can take root. The void you're feeling right now is your fertile ground. If the space where you get to decide what kinds of seeds you really want to plant. Are you looking for friends who are adventurous? Maybe friends who you have a deep connection with by thinking and philosophizing. Or maybe you look for friends that prioritize mental health. You can't even see those people if you're still squatting through the dust of your old dying friendships. The quiet is giving you your sight back. Being lonely and in the space of a void, you're going to see something else that you haven't seen in a while. Have you ever noticed how much you change your personality to fit a certain friend? Maybe with one friend, you were always the funny one. You couldn't be serious. With another, you were the listener who never got to speak. When you enter the void, those rules are gone. You don't have to be that person. This is the time to perform a self-audit. When you're taking away all friendships and you're ending them, that is the time for self-audit. So I want to ask you this question. Who am I when nobody is watching? I want you to ask that question for yourself. Who am I if nobody is watching? What are the hobbies you stop doing because of your old friend? Because they thought your hobbies were boring. What are the topics you stopped talking about because they don't get it or they don't want to talk about it? One of those, go back to them, and I know there is things that you can identify in that void. You know, there's a great quote, often attributed to various thinkers, that says you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. If you've just removed two or three of those people, your average is about to change. The void is where you raise your own baseline. It's where you become the kind of person that the new friends you would want to have actually to hang out with. So someone who share your hobbies with or what you're thinking about. It's also important to acknowledge that the void can feel like a phantom limb. Let me explain. You know, like when someone loses their arm, but they still feel that itch where their hand used to be. See, friendships are like that. You'll see a meme and your thumb will instinctively go to send it to that person. Or you'll have a bad day and want to call them. When that happens, don't judge yourself. Don't think something like, oh, you know what, I'm such a weak person, yeah, I miss them. You know, just acknowledge the feeling. Say, you know what, I miss that connection, but I don't miss the friction. This is where the bicycle metaphor comes back in. If you're riding a bike and you suddenly take off a heavy backpack, the bike is going to feel twitchy for a second. You will lose your balance a bit. It's going to feel too light. You might even wobble because you're so used to leaning against the extra weight. The void is just you learning how to balance yourself without the backpack. It's going to be a fitter, faster version of yourself. It takes a few miles to get the hang of it. But once you do, you realize how much further you can go. Just a quick warning for my listeners sitting in the void right now. Watch out for the rebound frames. Because we're so uncomfortable with the quietness and the loneliness, we often grab to the first person who actually shows interest. We meet someone at work or at a party and we immediately try to make them our new best friend. Because we're desperate to fill that empty chair in our lives, that empty void. Don't rush it, people. The balanced mind approach is about quality over speed. Use this time to be selective in your social circle. Go to the movies alone. Go and have a coffee at the bookstore. Learn to be your own best friend. If you can't enjoy your own company in the void, why should someone else enjoy it? When you are comfortable being alone, you stop choosing friends out of need and start choosing them out of alignment. And that, my friends, is the game changer. We looked at the breakdown of a friendship and the painful breakup of one. But now we also sat in the silence. And now we finally reached the part of the journey where the road opens up and we can start with a fresh new set of friendships. But there is a common stigma that making friends as an adult is nearly impossible. We tell ourselves, you know, everybody already have their group, their clique. Or people my age aren't looking for new friends. But I want to tell you right now, that is a full-blown lie. And it's a lie that your brain tells you to keep you safe from rejection. The truth is that we are living in connection crisis. Millions of people are sitting in their own void right now, wishing someone would reach out. Building a new connection isn't about being the loudest person in the room or having a perfect personality. It's about intentionally and courage, intentionally looking for new friendships and courage to take the step and reach out. If you want a balanced life, you have to be the architect of your own social circle, not just a bystander. So you need to orchestrate it. So how do we actually find new friends? Well, we have to look at the proximity effect again. This is a classic social idea that says we become friends with people we are physically around the most. In school, it was very easy because you were in the same classroom, right? As adults, we have to build our own classrooms, so to speak. But here is a trick for the balanced mind. Don't just join any group. Join a group that aligns with your virtue, we talked about in the intro. If you want friends who value health, go to a running club or a yoga studio. If you want friends who value growth, go to a seminar or a book club. When you choose the room carefully, you've already done 50% of the work because you know the people there already share your frequency. Don't go there with the pressure of finding a best friend on one day, the first day you go. Just go there, you know, hang around there, have coffee with the people. There's a beautiful concept called passive socialization. It's the act of just being a regular somewhere. The more people see your face, the more they will trust you. Trust is the foundation of every connection, and truth is built through repeated low-stakes interactions. The hardest part for most of us is the bridge we need to build. We have people we see at gym or at work, and we like them, but we don't know how to cross over into a real friendship. We're afraid of looking desperate. I want to give you a balanced mind strategy, a low-stakes invite. You don't ask new acquaintances to have a 5-course dinner with you. You ask them for a 15-minute coffee. Often the activity you've done together, like a class or a gym session. This is what social scientists call testing the waters, which is totally fine. You are checking your frequency. Do they ask questions back? Do they engage in conversation? Or do they seem, you know, with themselves and don't really engage? So whatever the answer is, it is not rejection of you. It's just a sign that their tears of their friendships are maybe already full. And that's okay. You just keep on failing. You just keep on going. I have one thing that I trust as well, is I always smile at the person and I greet them by their name, or I learn their name at first. And just by doing that, by smiling, making eye contact, and greeting them, you establish some form of connection, which will pay off at the end of the day. But it also takes time. Now we have to talk about transitions, the endings and the new beginnings. So I want you to get really personal with you for a second. I know that everything we talked about today sounds good on paper, but in reality it's heavy. It's emotional work. A friendship breakup can shake your confidence to the core. It can leave you wondering if you're unlovable or if you ever find a tribe again. The grief of losing a friendship who was once your person or your tribe, that's real and that's valid. I want you to know that as a counselor, I am here for you. You don't have to navigate this void, this emptiness by yourself. If you are going through a friendship breakup right now, and if you're struggling with guilt of letting go, or if the anxiety of trying to connect with new people feels like too much work to carry out, why don't you reach out to me? I am here to help and support you. My goal is to be a space where you can feel cared for, where you can be guided through the messy parts of these transitions, and where you can work together so you can grow in your life. A balanced mind often starts with having one safe person to talk to. Someone who isn't going to judge you or pick sides, but who is going to help you find your own center again. And if you feel that need, if you need to talk and find a way back to your own balance, why don't you contact me? You can reach out to me on a Dylan Bicycle page on Facebook, or you can send an email to dylanlubbel@gmail.com, Delta Echo Orange November, Lima Alpha Bravo Unit at gmail.com. Don't sit in the quiet if the quiet is becoming too loud. Let's talk, let's heal, and let's get back on the path to growth. So as we close this episode of The Balanced Mind, I want to leave you with a final thought. Friendship is a journey, not a destination. Your social circle is a living, breathing thing. It's going to expand and it's going to contract. There will be seasons of crowded tables and seasons of empty chairs. Neither one is a sign of failure. The only mistake we can make is staying still when our heart is telling us it's time to move on. Whether you're letting go today or reaching out to someone new, do it with kindness. Do it with integrity, and most importantly, do it for the version of yourself that you want to be. Life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. But you also have to make sure you're riding with people who want to see you reach the finish line. Thank you for spending time with me. I am Dion Bicycle, and this has been The Balanced Mind. Until next week, take care of yourself, watch your boundaries, and keep pedaling towards your own peace. Ciao for now.